What's going on, everyone? Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Chillin' with Chillis podcast. I am your host who will forever do the most, whether it's from city to city, train to train, plane to plane, or coast to freaking coast. No matter where, when, how, or why, I will always and forever be, hopefully, one of your favorite podcasters to tune in and listen to. It is your boy, Chillist. I've not done the intro in a while, and, you know, I'm trying to get back to my natural recording style instead of just jumping into a topic because I'm trying to have some sense of normalcy for the sake of my sanity. It's been quite a time on my side. Before I get into speaking about me and, you know, this episode's topic in general, I do hope all of you have been well and you've experienced great days leading up to today. Hope you've had nothing but the joys of good people, great food, and fantastic energy in any specific order that you all prefer. And most importantly, I do hope that you have a safe place to go to when the world does the most with this Trials and Tribulations sponsored and brought to you by Life. And I apologize if I sound so like gray. One, it's 4:42 in the morning. And two, I don't have the energy like I used to. A lot of things are just starting to sink in, and I guess it's affecting how I'm, it's affecting my day to day, if you will. Most recently, and I decided to just full transparency here. My aunt Mel, she lost her battle with cancer, and it is the craziest experience to me because one minute she was here and the next she was gone. Now, I don't know if this is sad to say or if this is just the way it is to say it, but I've had experiences with losing family members to cancer, and it leaves me a bit numb and at the same time just in shock and in disbelief. Like, I'm starting to see that when it comes to me, a lot of things don't hit me until it's in front of me. So right now it's out of sight, out of mind. And it won't be until the funeral where I realize that she's no longer here. And her and I, we talked as often as we could and we had a good relationship. That's one thing I'm happy to say is that when it comes to my family, with each of my family members, I have a close relationship. Even if I don't have the opportunity or the chance to talk with them as often as I would like to, our relationship has always been good. Even though we would bump heads and have disagreements, I want to say what family members don't do that, but she and I spoke and she had kind words for me. And to me, it's a hard thing to experience because in the back of my mind, even though I know death is a part of life, I never think about how often or how soon or unexpected death can be. So I always have this, I call it this picture perfect scenario where I see life going in a direction I would prefer. And when things start to happen that alter that image, it just leaves me in a state of like, wow, there was a certain point in time where everything was looking great, perfect, and I can see the future based on how the present is looking. And then things happen and I'm just like, how do we get here? How do we get to this point in time where things are just drastically different and they can never go back to how they used to be? And then I realized that I've yet to really dig deep into how I deal with things. In a lot of ways, I definitely feel desensitized to all of this. And in a lot of ways, I find myself being more angry. And I have the type of response that sounds like a backlash, when in reality, it's just I'm coping and I'm trying to be healthy with all of this. And then I start to think back about how I handled death in the past. The first major death that affected me was my Aunt Christine, who was also my godmother. She was like a mother to me. And we were really close. And when she first told me that she had cancer. In my head, I'm thinking, this is crazy, you know? And I was 17 at the time. And I was already dealing with a lot. Not to say that that wasn't important, but that was the year where so much was going on in the worst way possible. And, you know, my mom always, she often brings this up every time. And I don't disagree with her, but at the same time, it's hard to agree. But when my Aunt Christine lost her battle, when she passed and she left us, that was the first time I really was angry and questioned my relationship with God, because I had prayed and I really wanted her to pull through. And then I realized, you know, well, I didn't realize, I had to settle with the idea that God had a different plan for us, for her. And it wasn't the plan that we all thought. You know, I wanted her to see me as an established adult who wasn't always struggling. It's like a lot of family members that have passed have seen me in the same light over and over again. But I don't, you know, I'm not going to say that's how they felt. That's just my perception. I've always wanted everyone to look at me and say, you know, you've grown. And they haven't not said that. It's just, again, this is my perception that I'm just putting on to all of you. So it always bothered me because she did so much for me. She helped me. And we were really close. And when she left, it was just, it left this hole. And that hole would only get bigger because after that, my uncle had passed, my uncle Mike. And then to the same thing, he passed to cancer. And it was just a wild experience because he was my godfather. And those two, you know, our relationship was, it was really good. You know, and I often hear their voices every now and then. And when I see pictures of them, I just go back to that point in time where our family was huge. And now it's just, we're a smaller group. We're closer, but it's like we've gone through a lot. And, you know, for me to go through it is one thing. When I see my mom and my aunts go through this, I say to myself, I can't even imagine, you know, growing up with a sibling and then watching them go through this intense battle and lose. Now, my mom, she is a cancer survivor. So I can't imagine how she feels when she watches her loved ones go through this journey. And I think about these things all the time because with every loss that I've experienced, my levels of empathy get higher and higher and higher. But every time I lost someone, it just left me feeling like, you know, a lot of people, when they speak to me, their first go-to is, you know, God, you got to understand God's plan. And I think that's what made me so intense when it came to having a spiritual belief on, you know, life. You know, just looking at it from a perspective where it's like, you know, don't be sad. Because in a way, you think about it, they're not suffering anymore. But at the same time, you didn't want them to go through that journey in the first place. You wanted them to live and enjoy their life. You know, I often would hear my Aunt Mel, she used to talk about what she wanted to do. And, you know, it just, I always wanted that for her. I wanted her to live her life the way she wanted to, unapologetically. And that's where that comes from. When I see my family and I hear them say that to me, when I tell that to all of you, to live unapologetically, you have to live for yourself, because people around you can give you advice, but 10 out of 10 times, they're not going to follow it. They're going to tell you to do this and that, but they're going to do what they want to do. And I always encourage people to live life the way they want to live it. So it's just, you know, mentally, spiritually, I'm just dealing with a lot, and I'm trying not to lose faith that I had took, that it took forever for me to restore, because when my dad passed, which wasn't even through natural causes, it just, I'll tell you all this, my mind is shattered sometimes. My heart is shattered sometimes, because the things that I've experienced and the way I'm supposed to react to these experiences leave me desensitized to the max, because I can never react the way I want to. Not saying that I can't, but I none of us were prepared for all of this, you know? And I was having a conversation with my cousin, and he and I were saying that, you know, we didn't know that the time that we had left with our aunt was going to be so short, and that we wish we could have did more, but we were so occupied with what was going on in our lives. And, you know, we were just living our lives. You know, it's not like we were purposely ignoring anyone. We were just so focused on what was going on in our own lives that we didn't take the time to see what was happening in front of us. And I told him, you know, it's not really anything to feel guilty about. But to me, I realized I have a lot of trauma and PTSD with the situation, because with my Aunt Christine, when she had passed, I remember I was on my way to school and I didn't know how much time she had left. And I was saying to her that, I said, you know, I'll be back, you know, I'll see you. And then I was all the way in Brooklyn at the time, living with my mom, and I was washing dishes, and she called me and she said, hurry up and get down here, because she's transitioning. She didn't use that word. I can't remember the word she said. And for some reason, I couldn't leave the house. Not because I couldn't. I guess it was a defense mechanism. I was so focused on making sure that the dishes and stuff were washed and I can leave. And I never got a chance to say goodbye. And that really hurt me, because I told her that I was going to see her and I didn't. Now, from a spiritual point of view, you can say that, you know, she's watching over me and she knows what I wanted to say, but there's still that human part of us that just is never settled with that idea. We want to have that moment. We want to be able to say goodbye properly. And that devastated me. When my uncle was passing, he had wanted to talk to me. And me just seeing how he looked at that time, I couldn't move forward and I couldn't speak with him. And then, you know, next thing you know, he was gone. And that sat with me for a while, because I was like, he really had something he wanted to say and I'll never know, you know? And I don't mean to dump all of this on all of you. It's just, sometimes you wonder why you act the way you act or react the way you act, and you start to trace back. And that's what I'm doing now. And with this, I was able to do things differently. I was able to say goodbye to my aunt, and I was able to be there. So I felt content, but at the same time, it just wasn't fair. If I can take away a lot of the pain and suffering that my family goes through, I would do it in a heartbeat. And then I started thinking about my daughter and just my life. You know, it's like, I don't want to speak it into existence, but this just made me want to leave her with all the resources and things she needs to grow up if something were to happen to me. Because, you know, unfortunately, this disease is something that is in our family. And, you know, I don't know, you know, and I'm not saying it to sound morbid or to sound negative. I'm just saying that to say that I just don't know. And that makes me think about the future. And, you know, going forward from here, I'm definitely going to do my best to be there for my family. And I'm definitely going to do my best to be the person that they wanted me to see. It's just, I didn't realize how crazy this all was. And I don't know how to cope with it, because you can't stop moving. I mean, you could take a break because, you know, for the sake of your mental health, you can't just tackle more things when you're dealing with a lot on your plate. But I can't stop moving because of this, you know. It hurts. It hurts. And it hurts even more so to move forward from the day she left. It's crazy. I can't describe the feeling 100%, but there's a lot of family members that aren't here that I wish they were here, because I miss them and I love them so much. But I do feel their presence when I maneuver around, when I am able to, what's the best way to say this? Whenever I want to do something for the family, to take care of them the best way I can, I feel them with me. And I got that from them. You know, that's something I inherited. And it's made me even more... Is family friendly the right word? It made me more open to the idea that you have to be there for your family. And then, you know, I started to reminisce a bit, started to think about all those times where I had like memorable memories with those who weren't with us. One memory popped in my head because I saw a picture of my dad where he and I, it was 2014. That year is special to me for a lot of reasons, but this reason in particular, we were driving around and he was someone who went to the gym and didn't eat anything crazy. But this time around, he was in the mood for Chinese food. He ordered it, and we had listened to the new MMG album, and we were listening to the song Black Grammys, and we were enjoying ourselves. We had fun in that memory. That memory sticks with me, and I just remember it so well that I can feel it, you know? And that was 10 years ago, and I could still feel that memory. And little did I know that 3 years after that, he'd be gone. And it's just, I didn't imagine it, you know? I didn't really get a chance to talk to him, to say goodbye or anything. That was just, that happened abruptly. And even the way that that was settled kind of made me question my relationship. And you know what's insane? I will tell people this, and most people will tell me, the first thing that'll come out their mouth is like, you can't question God. And I like to say, why not? You know, human to human, why shame me or not be satisfied with my answer when that's the most human thing ever? You know what I mean? To just question, why is this happening? I'm not saying that I'll forever question it, but for the time that I was feeling that, it just felt like I was betrayed, and it was just like, why did this have to happen? And why like this? And that's what made me double down on empathy. When people tell me things that hurt them and bother them, I listen and I try to adapt in a way that they know that I took what they said to heart and I'm moving forward with that in mind with them. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm angry. I'm literally just talking, but you know, you don't realize how much you go through when you just sit back and you are like, wow. And like I said, it really altered my personality. It changed me. But the thing was, I was aware of that change. And, you know, everyone would say you should go to therapy. But the thing that frustrated me about that in general was that there were people who were recommending therapy to me that needed therapy themselves. And I'm not using that as an excuse. It's just that if you know that this is important and it's healthy to do and you're not doing it, why push this on me, you know? I'm somebody that I want to be able to live my adult life in a healthy way. And what I mean by that is just, you know, damn, that sounds crazy. But if I'm allowing you to live your life without judgment, can you please do the same for me? Even if you have qualms and concerns, you know, you can always talk to me about that. But, you know, I don't ever walk around and say what I'm doing is healthy. I just say I'm doing this for the time being until I'm ready. Because that's the main thing. You have to be ready to do something. Even if I went to therapy today, if I wasn't ready for it, it's not going to do what it's supposed to do. And then I knew I needed therapy when I had said, I don't know who I said it to, but I was like, yo, if I taught myself to cut my own hair, couldn't I be my own therapist? And I said to myself, you know what? You know what, Ivan? You gotta chill out. You definitely need to go. And then I'm also scared to go to unpack all of that because, to my knowledge, maybe I understand why I do most things, but what if I find out that I was doing a lot of things because of trauma or PTSD or just, you know, imagine having that unveiled and you're just like, damn, I was more messed up than I thought. And every day, it's hard for me to look at certain pictures of my aunts to think about, you know, things like this. And then there's people in my life now who are going through intense battles and struggles that they talk about or they keep to themselves. And then I wonder, you know, if I'm being so preoccupied with those who aren't here, am I missing out on what's going on with those who are around me now? But then I think to myself, what if they don't want to talk about this stuff? You know, it's weird. It's such a, and this is just me thinking that. It's not weird, because I'm pretty sure everyone else is like, yeah, we all go through that, and we have the healthy way to do it. And if you're willing to talk to us, chillers, we can help you. And I noticed I started falling back into my old ways because I'd have friends and loved ones who would reach out, and I'm just not really ready to jump into normalcy, but they need me just as much as I need them. And I want to be the best version of myself in order to help them all out. It's just been a crazy time. There's a lot more that I could definitely dive into and talk about, but it's just, I don't know. And this episode wasn't even supposed to be that heavy. There wasn't even supposed to be an episode really at all. I just couldn't sleep and I work late. So this is the time that I'm usually up. So I tried to sleep and wake up at a normal time, 8 a.m. But I got up at 3 and I just stayed up. And from there, I was like, you know something? Let me just record. It's been a while. It's March. My birthday is next week. Today's the 18th. Yeah, my birthday is next week. And let me get these things off my chest. So if any of you are still listening to this podcast and you know me personally, let me apologize on here for being so weird with communication. This won't be the only time that I apologize. I'll definitely reach out and speak to you all properly. It's just, you know, life has just been doing its thing, and I can't be mad at it, you know. And I'm not even mad at those who are gone. You know, I'm not mad at anything. I'm mad, but I don't know what I'm mad at. But I'm not mad at the obvious. If that makes sense, I hope that makes sense. I had the pleasure of speaking with a really close friend of mine, and I was telling her that because of the experiences that I went through, I was determined to make sure that a lot of people that I care for, I wanted to keep around. And I think that's a defense mechanism for sure to keep me preoccupied. But at the same time, I just wanted to keep in contact with those that I really love and care about. And she's one of them. And I was telling her that, you know, I will do my best to keep in contact and try to catch up as often as I can. And I was telling her how I still keep in contact with a lot of people that we went to school with. And I got to give Facebook and MySpace credit for that, because I was pretty sure that when I graduated high school, I was going to be in, you know, in life, how, you know, you have those reunions, those 10-year reunions. And it's just like, yo, it's been forever. I literally saw everyone grow up. I saw people get married, become parents, you know, go through promotions, new highlights in their life. That's not the word I wanted to use, but I can't think right now. Just new chapters. There we go. New chapters in their life. And I was able to witness it all. So when the 10 years finally passed, all we could say was like, yo, 10 years passed. But I was able to keep in contact with a lot of people, and it's been good, you know? It's been a real fun experience, and I'm grateful for it. I don't know how long that'll last, though, you know what I mean? Because it's one thing to say it, it's another to actually try to keep doing it. And not a lot of people are keeping up with social media like they used to. I had someone tell me that Facebook is dying, and I was like, I went on there and I saw it. I was like, yeah, man, I remember when Facebook was the go-to. Facebook and AIM. No, it was MySpace. It was AIM. Then it was Facebook and AIM. Then MySpace kind of like filtered out. And then LinkedIn, low-key, not really to catch up, just to kind of like see people from their, in their business bag, you know? And then afterwards, it was Facebook only, then Messenger. And then Instagram came popping up, Instagram and Kick. And now it's just Instagram, low key. I'm not really going to give Twitter and Tumblr credit, because that's a world for other things in general, which is crazy because I still kind of have my Tumblr page and I log in from time to time. One of the craziest things that I think about to myself, and I'll probably share it with my close friend group, is that on a lot of levels, I'm not as close to my closest friends like I used to be. And it's just so crazy. At a certain point in time, they were the only close friends that I would reach out to. We used to hang out a lot. And then as we got older, as we started moving, as we went through life experiences, life changes, we slowly drifted. And you could say that you saw it come in or you saw the signs, but we all weren't really ready for it. And I think that's so crazy because I used to call most of these close friends of mine, brothers, sister. I mean, I always wished the best for them, but I always thought that I'd be in my 30s still reaching out like, yo, what's going on? You want to hang out? It's just, it's sad. But at the same time, it's not like we fell apart through an argument or anything. It's just we drifted. I never thought that that was going to happen. And that's how I knew I was naive. But at the same time, I was hopeful. Look at me trying to save myself. No. And, you know, I do think that breaking apart was inevitable because everyone was going through experiences that was going to pull us away from each other anyway. Like, it could be jobs. It could be moving. It could just be being with a loved one, a significant other that, you know, say, for example, hey, let's move. That is you thinking about them, not you. You know what I'm saying? So that was going to happen. But we did our best. We did our best. I always say 2014, that was like the golden year because we were young adults getting ready to just go through whatever life was going to give us. And it was a crazy time, but it was a really good time. Like 2013, 2014, those are the 2 years that I really, really can just, even 2012, like the 3 years after high school were like fun because we were finally the adults we wanted to be. We were able to do the things that we wanted to do. We were enjoying each other's company. It was fun. And then for the years after, we still kept in contact, you know, and we were able to see all of us grow and become these people that we joke about getting old. We had friends becoming parents for the first time. We had friends getting married. It was beautiful to see all of that. Where we are now, I don't think we expected that. For sure, I really don't think that. And a part of me thinks that eventually we'll reunite, we'll sit, we'll laugh, we'll talk. I'd say cry, but I'm not built that way. Who knows, you know? But I definitely see, like, I don't see that point in time was the last time we'd all be together. And I have friends of mine that I went to high school with that my life is crazy. I moved, so I had the pleasure of experiencing two high schools. And one of the high schools was Cardinal Spelman. Shout out the Falcons, who are then the Pilots. I don't know why that change happened, but that's not what this episode's about. But friends from Spelman, I really, 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 I thought, and I'm going to tell you all this full transparency. I keep saying that, but to my Spelmanites, I really thought that I was going to graduate with you guys. I thought that I'd be going to college with most of you. When I moved and I ended up going to Edison High School in New Jersey, that was a point in time where I was just like, yo, I did not see this coming. But I will say the experiences that I had in New Jersey really shaped me to be who I am now. So I have no regrets. I have no qualms about it. And there's people that I'm cool with there that I consider family. So, you know what I mean? It all worked out. But when I tell you that I thought that I was going to be going to Spelman for 4 years, changing my sweaters, getting a ring, dominating in the football team, because, you know, let anybody tell you, Chillis was that guy. Yeah, I'm lying. But I thought that life is going to be different on so many levels. But I don't question it now because what happened had to happen to get to this point. Who knows? If life went the way I thought it was, I probably never would podcast. You know, I think about things like that. You know, you don't think you wouldn't do this if this didn't happen. I probably, and that's a real fact because I only podcasted because I was used to recording music, which I started doing when I was in New Jersey. So literally, you know what I mean? of course, I'm always going to think about doing things differently, and I'll have the regrets of, you know, wanting to do things differently. But it is what it is, and I say that with content in my heart. And, you know, going forward, I'm just going to focus on being the best person I can be. I definitely want to be more open with my emotions, and I definitely want to be able to go through life knowing that I did what I wanted to do. I said what I wanted to say. I was able to leave nothing untouched and undone. And that's why it goes so hard for each and every one of you. It's been hard mentally and spiritually, but I do pay attention to what all of you have been doing out there in terms of, you know, just wanting to pursue your passions, your dreams, just wanting to live your life as peacefully as possible. I pay attention. I see everything. And I, you know, am planning on getting my social battery back up there and sharing everything and reaching out and talking to every single one of you, because I support all of your dreams. Not just because I want my dream supported, but, you know, imagine what good words would do to a person. You know what I mean? Imagine how that would make them feel, knowing that somebody believes in them as much as they believe in themselves. I think about this stuff. And as humans, I think we all should think that. I think we should think about how a positive impact or a positive influence can affect a person. I'd rather be somebody that pushes someone towards their dreams than push them away from it because I want to be realistic or because I didn't follow my dreams and I want them to be like me. No, absolutely not. Even if I don't achieve my goals or dreams, that's not going to turn me into a better person. That's going to turn me into a person that wants you to do better for yourself. For sure. It feels good to speak about all of this out loud. And if a lot of these topics sound redundant or if I've said all this before, I sincerely apologize. But at the same time, I don't, because this is what life is. Life sometimes can be recurring. It could be lessons that you thought you learned or lessons that you need to learn again. Or lessons just to show, like, hey, you learned, right? We just want to be sure. And I'm still looking for what kind of pocket I want this podcast to fall into. I was listening to some old episodes and I was like, you know, I remember I had a lot more passion. I used to speak about things on a high note. I used to do holiday episodes. I used to have a group of people I used to discuss this with. Life was way more balanced. Do you guys ever watch like videos of yourself or a picture of yourself, or you hear an audio of yourself and you remember who you were during the time that photo was taken, the video was taken, the audio was taken? You ever just remember, damn, I remember where I was and who I was when all of this happened? A lot of episodes I listened to, I was in different locations. I was in a different headspace. I was experiencing life in a different way than I am today. And I'll be doing the same thing when I listen to this episode a few years later, God willing, you know. But back to all of you.
Yeah.
Pursue your dreams. Do what you got to do. Filter out all of that negative shit. Do what's best for yourselves. Live life to the fullest. Laugh as hard as you can, as loud as you can. Be happy. Be spiritual. Be yourself. Be unapologetic. Do the things that you set out to do, no matter how crazy they may sound to other people, because it's your life. And at the end of the day, when your time comes, the first thing that you're probably going to think about is, did I do the things that I wanted to do? Look at me trying to be a spiritual judge. I don't know if that's going to be the first thought, but, you know, at the end of the day, you have to set up life for yourself, you know, however you want to. Let no one tell you that something is wrong. You know, definitely be advised, you know, take people's advice, whether you want to or not. Don't discredit that. But I say that to say that there's no wrong way to live your life if you have no problem with it. You know what I mean? And I'll leave it there. This is the first 35 minute episode almost. No, 34 minutes and 27 seconds, but this is like the first long episode I've done in a while, so I'm happy. My laptop ran out of space and my computer broke a while back. If I could fix my computer, then I can get these episodes up and running like I used to. That's another thing too. A lot of the technology that I depended on is just failing me. And I'm just like, yo, am I not supposed to podcast anymore? Probably do this for about two more seasons and then I'm going to retire. I got to revamp the online store, fix the designs better. I'm probably going to just dwindle it down to like some cups and shirts and then that's it. But if you see something you like on there, by all means, let me know. And I will alter the price because I am trying to do that because I looked at it and I was like, if I'm not going to pay $34.99 for an OVO sweater, I shouldn't expect anyone to do that for me. You know, oh, and also, let me just say this without sounding crazy or mean to my content creators out there. If you want your content to be shared, to be liked and commented, if I'm sharing something with you all, can you all do the same thing, please? I'm not saying I would hate my heart. It's just I just say to myself, I get a lot of double taps from the message, and I appreciate that. At the same time, I'm like, yo, just if you could just share it to your story. I think I might have to do that. That might fall on me. But usually 9 times out of 10, if someone shares something with me, I'll share it because I realize I see it. But the point of it being shared with me is that I share it with others. Or, you know, I just sparks up a conversation between me and the person who sent it. Who knows? But can we just start reciprocating that kind of energy, please? I'd appreciate it. And that's it. It's size 17. I recorded enough. I feel a lot better than when I started recording and while I was recording. So, like I said, this podcast is therapy for me. And I'm going to do my best to bring the excitement back. I was talking with Drew, who most of you should be familiar with. And he was saying, yo, he asked me, he was like, yo, you still podcasting? And I was like, not as much as I used to. He said, you got to get back on that. And he said, we need to record an episode together. And I was like, all right, man, let's do it. No, I'm down. So definitely want to get my collabs back. And I know there's a list of people who will want to collab with me. And like I said, I'm just going to go the IG live route because collaborating right now is impossible. Then again, no. I'm making some money. I could do some studio time, you know, get my face on camera. Because people say I look like Denzel and I got to really capitalize on that. You know what I mean? But all of you have a good day today. Travel safe, you know, travel sound. It's been crazy out there. It's been really crazy out there, but just be safe. And, I'll speak with you all soon. Hopefully this episode would be enjoyed, be listened to, be used to kind of help get through the day. At this time, I can imagine those who are listening to, if I would have put this episode at 4 a.m., I imagine people going out on late night drives. Oh, shit, Chillers drop. Or just going to work now and being like, yo, wait a minute, Chillers drop. That's how I see myself impacting the culture. But that's only if you got the notifications on. I have notifications on for friends of mine who have podcasts. So I always see when an episode drops. But sometimes I'll go on Spotify, refresh it, be like, oh, shoot, and I'll play it. But, you know, I hope you're all in a good place. And if you're not, I hope you get to that good place soon. My thoughts, prayers, positive vibes are sent your way. And I'll speak and you'll listen soon. We'll reunite soon. All right. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to this episode of the Chillin' with Chillest podcast. I am your host that does the most chillest, and I am out. And that is the first outro that I did. And we're sticking with that. This is it. Can we? I got to go.